welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. Today, I'm joined by the broadcaster and country music expert, Baylon Leonard, for this week's music discussion. On our record player today, not that we actually have a record player, but we're spinning, not that we're actually spinning, a new album entirely of covers by Watkins Family Hour, a sibling duo who've put their monthly LA musical residency on record. We'll also consider Americana artist Island Jewel and her latest release, Sundown Over Ghost Town, and a new track from the Grammy-nominated country singer Will Hoag. That's all coming up on the Arts Review here on Monocle 24. Baylon, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here, as always.
We introduced you there with our characteristic generosity as a broadcaster and country music expert. Where can people hear you broadcasting your country music expertise?
Well, every week on Amazing Radio, I do a show called The Front Porch on Saturdays, 6 to 8. But of course, you know, being 2015, you can listen whenever you want to online. And it's all about new and emerging artists. So we don't really deal with major labels. We don't deal with established stars. We kind of follow people as they're coming up or introduce them and then go along for the ride as they become larger than life. And I also do stuff on radio too from time to time. I've got some country music specials coming up between now and the end of the year. And that's, you know, and here on Monocle 24.
we have three tracks to consider, as we usually do. We're going to start with Watkins Family Hour, which I'm pleased you've picked because I've been listening to this record a bit myself lately, and I do quite like it. Before we actually play the track, introduce, if you will, the idea of Watkins Family Hour, because it's a sort of live review that's turned into a record.
Yeah, exactly. It started out in L.A., and there was a band that I was a big fan of called Nickel Creek, which was kind of a new bluegrass type of band. And two of the members from that, who are brother and sister, started Watkins Family Hour. They started going to this bar in L.A., and mainly as audience members, and then were eventually dragged up on stage, and they started doing these live shows, storytelling, musical collaborations. They would invite friends. They would do covers of songs that they loved. And it started attracting not only a huge crowd, in that people couldn't actually get into it, you know, there'd be crowds waiting outside trying to get into it, but also a big crowd of quite well-known singers and actors. John C. Reilly would stop by there. Jackson Browne, Booker T would all join them on stage, and Fiona Apple, who's now become a permanent member of this band. And so they decided that because so many people were trying to get in, that they would take it out on tour. So they took it out around the United States to their friends' homes and had more people join them for these collaborations. And eventually, they've decided to release an album of covers done in their very own style. So it's a lot of covers that you wouldn't expect a country band or an Americana or a band with this sound to do, but they do them all in that style. So they cover some Disney songs in there, and they cover The Grateful Dead, and they cover Fleetwood Mac, which is a song I've brought in for you today.
Okay, what do you think works about it? Because the sort of semi-whimsical, semi-satirical country cover version of non-country song is a bit of a trope.
It
can go one of several ways. I tend to think it goes incredibly badly when people are just being wacky and zany. I mean, when My Revolution Comes, for example, Hayseed Dixie will be among the very first against the wall. What was it you thought worked about the covers on this record?
Well, nothing about it sounded novelty to me. You know,
it didn't
sound like they were trying to wedge in a banjo and, you know, or just take something and put their tongue in the side of their cheek with it. They were really doing these songs because, A, they're really good songs, first of all, you know, as they stand. And then they're super talented musicians. The siblings certainly are multi-instrumentalists, so they know, you know, they know their onions, as it were. And they're just taking songs that they actually love and putting this spin on them. And now, of course, you know, being in country music and loving it the way that I do, I have a very critical eye about these things. And like you said, there are certain bands out there that do this, and it's just become their shtick, and there's nothing worse. But this is not a shtick. This is not a novelty act. This is a supremely talented group of musicians and friends that are doing songs that they love, and I just think it's wonderful.
Okay, well, this is the Watkins Family Hour singing Fleetwood Mac.
All the way.
That was Watkins Family Hour with their version of Fleetwood Mac, Steal Your Heart Away, from their self-titled debut album. Even speaking as somebody who, as previously discussed, has an aversion not just to novelty country cover versions, but also the works of Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, no.
I still really like that. I think that's lovely, and I think it's a lovely, lovely record. I want to introduce the second track you've picked today. I think I may have introduced it as Island Jewel at the top of the show. I can't remember at this point. And I'm pretty sure that's wrong. The name is spelled E-I-L-E-N, rather annoyingly. How are we supposed to be pronouncing it?
It's Elan Jewel.
Elan.
Yes. I mean, there's no way that you would know that other than just knowing it, isn't it? So it's an interesting name, but Elan is how it's pronounced.
Okay, Elan Jewel. And where is she from and what does she do?
She is from Boise, Idaho, originally. And like a lot of people who are born in a small town, she wanted to get out as quickly as she could. So she left home at 18. She moved to New Mexico. She found herself in L.A. She ended up in Boston. And, you know, has now ended up back in Boise, Idaho, as you do. So she was in L.A. and working in some sort of dive bar, and Loretta Lynn's Honky Tonk Girl came on. And something about, even though Loretta Lynn is from Kentucky and nowhere near Idaho, there was something about that song that completely struck Elan, you know, the way that it sounded, not necessarily the lyrics of it, but just kind of the musicality of it. And it made her think of home. And she suddenly realized, I've got to go back home. So she moved herself back to Boise. And then just outside of Boise, there's a place called Idaho City, which is very mountainous and pretty much a ghost town. It used to be an old mining town. And like a lot of mining towns in that area of the United States, that industry is completely gone. So it's classified as a ghost town. She moved there and really mountainous, rocky terrain, not really something you would call, you know, pretty by a natural stretch of the imagination. But that's where she found her thing. And so she started writing her songs, writing about her life. And she brought out this town, which is called Sundown Over Ghost Town. And it's all inspired by that yearning that she had to get away and then that longing that she had to get back. And it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, there's a lot of truth in this. There's a lot of her own stories in this. And there's a lot of her kind of working out her yah-yahs, but not in any sort of like way that you're really annoyed. You know, sometimes you have artists that are working out their stuff on a record and you just think, oh, just really, do you need to do this on the record? But this is all quite universal stuff, I think, you know, because I moved away from home when I was 18. I haven't moved back yet. And I have heard Honky Tonk Girl by Loretta Lynn, and it didn't make me move back. But I think this is just a really lovely album, and she really draws on her experiences. So the song that I brought in for you is called Hallelujah Band, and it draws on two of her experiences, she said. One, when she was a teenager, and her friend went to spelunking. Do you know what that term means?
Spelunking. Is this something to do with caves?
It is. You go caving, yeah. So there's a lot of caves where I'm from in Tennessee, and we would go spelunking quite a lot. But they went spelunking into this underground cave that had a lake in it. And so they're in the lake underground, but then there's railroad tracks that are running over the ground on top of the cave. So she found herself in this real kind of, she says it was a religious experience. You know, she had this moment. And then the other one was about her kind of secret spot when she was a kid, which I think a lot of kids have. And she says it was just an indentation in the ground, but it got her away from everything. And she was able to go there and just kind of, you know, think it as much as you can when you're 8 years old. And there's something nice about this song. I like it very much.
It's a terrible thing that country music does to you. I think it has that thing of almost always making you think about home, wherever it is that your home may happen
yeah.
to be. And yeah, if you follow that thread too far, you can, as she has, clearly end up actually literally living in a ghost town in Idaho. Introduce her, if you would, so we make sure we get her name right.
So this is Elan, and now you're making me question it. Elan Jewel with Hallelujah Band.
Hallelujah Band by Elan Jewel from her album Sundown Over Ghost Town. which I haven't heard all of yet. I like that track a lot. Is the whole album that good?
The whole album is that good, yeah. I mean, I picked that out as a standout track for me, but there's certainly, it's an album that you could put on and leave. You know, I didn't skip through.
Okay, well, finally, this evening, to Will Hogue, an artist I think we may disagree about slightly.
Okay.
I've got nothing against him. It's just...
Not your thing?
No, it is. It's exactly my thing. I like kind of, you know, as we will shortly learn, this is sort of old school swaggering country flavored rock and roll, which is one of my very favorite things in the world. But it's that there's that fine line between being swaggering old school country flavored rock and roll and sounding like a beer commercial.
Right. Well,
I think he seems to me to be somebody who wanders both sides of that.
Yeah, he does. The album is called Small Town Dreams, and he's been around a while. Will has. Yeah. He's Grammy nominated. He's written big songs for lots of big stars. Lately.
He's actually from Nashville as well, which is unusual in a country singer.
Very unusual. Yeah, he's from a tiny town outside of Nashville called Franklin, which is basically a suburb of Nashville. A tiny town when he was growing up. But now it's got about 70,000 people in it. So he is kind of, you know, it kind of accompanies Elin Jewel in some way in that he kind of never went away from home, you know, because he just went to Nashville, which is just right across the road. And he says for a long time he didn't fit into Nashville because he was too rock to be country and he was too country to be rock. And I certainly think that he's got a bit of that Bob Seger kind of John Mellencamp sound to the album, certainly.
Yeah.
The album, I have to say, is one of my favorite albums of the past few months because for me it really hits home because it really paints this beautiful picture and not so beautiful picture of small town America. So it's called Small Town Dreams and it's got songs on it called Growing Up Around Here, Again. Guitar or a Gun, which is the choice that a lot of teenage boys have to make when they're taken to get their first birthday present. You know, when they're a teenager, you're going to get a guitar, you're going to get a gun, because it's going to change the way you live, whichever one you pick. He's got a song called Middle of America, just up the road, and it paints this kind of lonely, melancholy / we don't know any better, so we're having a good time view of small town America. And he wrote this album. He was living in Nashville and then he was doing up his house. So he had to move back in with his parents for a little while where they were doing up his house. And while he was there, he found a box of his cassette tapes that he had when he was a teenager. And so it really influenced kind of the sound of the album. It made him think about, you know, how he was feeling when he was a teenager in that town. And he wrote the songs out of that. There's a lot of good on this album, and I know that maybe this song doesn't exactly scratch your itch, as it were.
It's just that when you see an album by a singer from Nashville called Small Town Dreams, mm-hmm. there's one of two things is going on there. Either one, he just does not have an idea in his head, because that's just about the most cookie cutter obvious thing you could possibly call an album made by a country singer from Tennessee, or he's actually doing something with the fact that it's a cliche, that he's actually working beneath that or around that, or trying to say something different or unexpected about it. Does he fall, do you think, in that latter category?
Yeah, I think he's got a really interesting view about small town America, because his town was actually very small, but he was right beside of this major city. And so, as you know, as somebody, you know, can live in the UK and never visit London all of their lives, you know, it can be right next door, but it can be completely inaccessible to you. And also, you know, he's seen the friends that he grew up with not leave that town, you know, not make that leap over to anywhere other than their small town, which is a totally fine and a completely valid choice, but it that's referenced in Guitar Gun. You know, it's all about these choices that you make getting out of it. And so it could just be that I'm from a small town in Tennessee, so it hits my sweet spot, but I think it's such a brilliant album. This song, I'll give you that it sounds on the surface of it much more of a party song, and in the lyrics is probably much more of a party song, but the album as a whole is absolutely great.
Because the way you describe it, it sounds quite similar to the way that Jason Isbell, when he was in here a couple of years ago with his then album Here We Rest, mm-hmm. Which was broadly about the same thing. He went back home to a small town in northern Alabama and wrote what was around him.
Yeah, yeah. I was just listening to Jason's brand new album, just today before I came in. And I think there's a lot of similarities. I mean, a different musical style, certainly, but in terms of themes and their take on things, I think they're right up there. But I really rate this album, and I did pick this song out of the album for you, mainly because I thought, oh, let's have a little upbeat good time song after the other two songs that we had, which are a bit more, you know, deeper than that. But yeah, I take that. I have no issue, though, with big, poppy, middle-of-the-road rocking country music if it's done well. And even on that surface, I think this is done well.
Okay, well, this is Will Hoag with Till I Do It Again. Till I Do It Again, Will Hoag from his album Small Town Dreams, the third and final selection of our music reviewer today, Baylen Leonard. I can see myself that kind of warming growing on me a little bit, because I do have a soft spot for the kind of, you know, big, dumb, beery, happy country song, but I would be persuaded, I'm kind of persuaded by your argument that the album as a whole around it is a bit more melancholic and a bit more reflective.
Yeah, I think you know, as long as you don't hate that song, give the album a go.
Didn't hate it. So, but basically, Will Hoag's not just another guy in a hat.
He's not just another guy in a hat, unless I've got it completely wrong, but I do not think I do.
Okay, well, Small Town Dreams by Will Hoag is out now on Cumberland Recordings. Those other artists we spoke about today all have records out now or now about. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you to Baylen Leonard for joining me in the studio. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. My producer was Holly Fisher. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow on the Arts Review. Well, I won't be, but the programme will be, when Donald Hatira will be talking through his theatre picks for the week. But for now, goodbye from me, and thanks for listening.